Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 56 on April 6th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Cronos Group, the Russell 2000 Index ETF, and Advanced Micro Devices. And we discuss three new trades on Intelsat, United States Steel, and IQIYI Inc. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here or about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at ERIC. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. And I just want to take a moment to thank the folks that reached out. I had quite a few listeners reach out to me this week. One gave me some, some compliments on leading them to a trade that doubled their money in a short period of time. So, hey, I always love emails that tell me you made some money. And one of them presented a question that we're going to answer today on the show. And had a few others that just let me know they were listening. So it's always great to hear from you guys. I do actually check the email, so feel free to reach out to me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. And I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading, basically so you can understand and follow along with the trades that I present on the show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch those videos, or you can find them on YouTube on our YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, the main equity indexes in the U.S. were a bit mixed this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the week 496 points higher, ending at 26,424 points on Friday. The S&P 500 index ended down slightly, a little bit more than 1 point, finishing the week at 2,832 points. So it's always interesting when you watch those 30 Dow stocks versus, of course, the 500 stocks that are followed in the S&P kind of go in opposite directions. And I, you know, also got some feedback from those survey forms. Thank you so much for those of you who took the time to finish it. If you haven't, go ahead and hop over to theweeklyoption.com/survey. So that you can let me know kind of what you think about the show and any comments as far as things I could add or things I could take away to make the show even better. And I got the sense that the earnings part of the show is not really appreciated as much. So I'm going to remove this segment from the show. Now, if you actually like this segment, why don't you email me or fill out the survey and let me know? The reason we normally talk about earnings is just so, it's two-pronged. First off, it's so that you don't enter a trade without realizing that they have earnings this week. So oftentimes there'll be some news that's out there, and earnings tend to make stock pricing a little more volatile. So it's always nice to know it's coming, and also it can be a good indicator of places to look for new trades after the earnings have been released and sort of the volatility may calm down a bit and give you a good indication of where a stock is headed next. So I will still follow it for my own trading, and I challenge you to as well, but I'm going to remove that segment from the show. So that brings us on up to the topic of the week. Now, the topic I wanted to discuss this week is one that came up twice, once in a conversation with one of the members of my Option Studio course, and another in an email, one of the emails I received, and that's on brokerage accounts. So there are a lot of brokerage accounts that offer access to the equity option markets, and that's fantastic, but they are not all created equal. There are a lot of differences in fee setups. A lot of them give you different access to the market. Some of the questions they may ask around your knowledge of the option strategies will also affect your ability to trade options with them. And so right off the bat, and I don't have any affiliate links. I'm not connected to these brokerages in any way financially. There are a couple of them that I actually have friends at, but not the main ones I'm going to suggest. So the two places I have accounts are Interactive Brokers, IB. I've used IB for years. I like IB. First off, when it comes to options, they don't have a flat fee. So when it comes to fees, there are several brokerage firms like Schwab, like certainly all of your main, your Merrill Lynch's and that and whatnot, but even E-Trade and I believe TD Ameritrade / Thinkorswim now, I think they also have a flat fee. So you pay this $4.95 fee, and then you pay a volumetric fee to be able to trade. The challenge there, of course, is that if you're trading one lots and two lots, and if you're listening to the show and you're learning to trade options, you know, I challenge you to just stick with one lots and two lots. So that you get to understand when I talk about, you know, hey, you made 6 cents, you're talking about $6, right? Because options are priced on, have a share equivalent of 100 shares. So when I say 6 cents, you have to multiply that by 100. So that's $6. So you make 6 cents on a trade, but you pay $4.95 flat fee plus commissions. After commissions, you actually lost money. So I much prefer the companies that don't have that flat fee. They just have the straight volumetric pricing. So makes it much more much easier to get into option trades. So if they charge you on a flat fee, then it's just a matter of your price per contract, not a flat fee and then the price per contract. So fees are huge. Interactive Brokers, I've used for years. I like their fee structure. I also like Tastyworks. Now, I could look at Tastyworks two ways. Tastyworks is the brokerage that came out of the Tasty Trade franchise. Tasty Trade has a podcast that they've had for a long time. They also have some courses, some training that they offer behind that. I don't really see them as my competition. They are way bigger. They have way more viewership. And to be quite honest, I like the format that I have on this show. And I like those guys. I mean, Tony Batista, and I forget the other guy who's there, but they came from the floor. I came from the floor. So they're not my competition. They're guys who are knowledgeable. And I don't mind being one of the voices that you listen to each week to learn about option trading. They're good at what they do. These guys, I believe, are also the brains behind Thinkorswim. They started Thinkorswim and ultimately sold it off to Ameritrade. So congratulations to them for making a ton of money in that, I'm sure. And when I was on the floor back in 2004, 2005, I had a couple of guys, a couple friends of mine that I knew, went to go work with them. Guys that I knew from the floor went to go and, execute trades and be on the phone, handling customer service for them, which was awesome because that let me know that the people that you would call, were truly knowledgeable about options because they traded options as well. So they could answer questions and all of that. Now, Thinkorswim does charge a flat fee and then a volumetric, but Tasty Trade only does the volumetric part of it. So I'm a big fan of that. That's what I look for in option in a brokerage. And then, of course, access to the markets. You want to make sure you're at a firm that lets you, follow your positions electronically, and most of them do at this point. You want to be at a firm or use brokerage houses that have knowledgeable people who are knowledgeable about option strategies, because that'll also affect you. So Tasty Trade, you can open an account for, I mean, I don't know if they even have a minimum. I think the minimum at Interactive Brokers is $10,000. But then when it comes to what trades they allow you to do, and this was my other conversation this week, they normally will have some sort of a survey where you get to answer your, answer questions about your experience and your knowledge. And what they're really doing, it's two-pronged. They're trying to find out how much you know about options so that they can both protect you and protect themselves. So if you aren't familiar with options, they're not going to let you go out and sell, you know, 100 lot of call options and you not understand the risk nor have the money in your account to cover the risk, because they ultimately are liable for any financial shortcoming on your end. And that's the reason it becomes so important. So, as far as execution ability, I'm thinking of things like slippage. That's when you try to execute a specific strategy and you click enter. You put your numbers into the account, and or you decide to do a market order. So when you would enter your numbers, that would be a limit order. Like you're saying, I am interested in buying this option for this price. Or you enter it as a market order, which just says, give me what the market has. And there are times when I use both of those strategies. Sometimes I just want to get in and make sure that I get filled because the market is moving. Other times I want to use a limit order, because if I don't get my specific price, then I'm really not interested in the trade. So slippage comes in. It's really the price that you meant to execute at versus what you actually got when you received a fill from the market. And so there can be a difference in those prices. And so execution capacity or ability is very important in choosing a brokerage firm. So I like to use Tastyworks and also Interactive Brokers. Again, I don't get any, there are no links to click from my website. There might be in the future, but at the time, I don't currently have any affiliate arrangements with them, so I'm not getting paid. This is truly the two brokerage accounts that I like to use. So that's it. Let's dive into the review of last week's trades. We looked at a covered call on Kronos Group, and at the time, Kronos Group stock symbol is CRON, Charles Richard Oscar Nancy. At the time, the stock traded for $18.43, and we looked at buying that stock and selling the April 19 call at 96 cents, hoping for an 8.3% return in 3 weeks. Well, Kronos Group stock was relatively stable this week. It fell 3 cents. However, that April 19 call, which we sold, fell 41 cents. So that creates a net profit of 38 cents for the week. With 2 weeks left until expiration, I expect that call option to continue to drop in value very quickly. You can stay in this trade and simply watch to make sure that stock doesn't fall too much more. The break-even price on this trade was $17.47, and we're nowhere near that level, right? Almost a dollar away from it. So for people who need more activity, well, first off, this trade is doing what you want, so really it requires no more action. You can, of course, exit it and lock in that 38 cents net profit right now. But for people who need more activity, and some of you know who you are. Some of you come to the markets seeking a little bit more adventure and excitement. So if you're that type, you can certainly roll down to a lower strike call option by buying back that April 19 call and locking in that 41 cent profit. And then you would sell the April 18 half call and collect 72 cents per option. Now, of course, this trade is working. And when it's working, I say do nothing. So there's no need for major adjustments. But if you like just sort of the intellectual game of it all, take a look at that 18 half call and what your total profit would be if you sort of roll that strike lower, given where stock is right now. So that's it for the cover call. The credit spread last week was not quite so happy. We looked at the Russell 2000 Index ETF, symbol IWM, Isaac William Mary. At the time, the stock was trading for $153.09 per share. And we looked at selling the April 155 half call spread at 17 cents, which would create a maximum loss of 33 cents. That's possible over 3 weeks. Well, IWM stock rose $4.29, finishing the week at $157.38 per share. That out-of-the-money call spread, which we sold, is now in the money. We sold it for 17 cents, and right now it's worth 42 cents. So that is a net loss of 25 cents on that spread. Now, we know that with stock right here, this trade is going to lose another 8 cents in 2 weeks, because as long as it's in the money, this spread will be worth 50 cents at expiration. So I would buy the spread back in, locking in the 25 cent loss. Next, I would look at selling the 156 half, 156 put spread in April at 14 cents. And I would also look at selling the 160, 160 and a half call spread in April as well at 11 cents. Now, the combined selling of the 14 cents and the 11 cents, that actually covers your losses and creates a basically a range of $156 to $160, a $4 range, where if stock finishes there in the next 2 weeks, you walk away at flat, or basically having paid commission. Now, you could also look at, and of course, you know, my goal is always to make money or at least finish the trade at flat. So if you sold those two spreads, you finish at flat. Now, you could also look at just selling two of the put spreads, right? Since stock appears to be moving a little bit higher, if you sold two of those put spreads, you'd collect 28 cents. Now, it changes your risk, right? Because now you have a situation where if stock were to go ahead and fall, you would be exposed on, let's see, you collected 14 cents for the put spread, so that creates 36 cents. You'd be exposed, you'd be collecting $28 with the possibility of losing $72, right? So that's when you add or subtract from trades, you have to look at your total risk adjustment. But if stock is going higher, that's going to be fine, and you would still end up collecting enough premium to offset the loss of that call spread that we sold last week. So a couple of different options. Options, of course, give you more options. And we have 2 weeks left in April. Some people would also tell you you could look at closing the April trade and entering one in May. I don't always like rolling my whole trade forward in time. I sometimes would rather just, you know, make or lose my money in the same month, and at the end of that month, start the next month with a clean hand. So that's just me. You know, when you're on the floor, you end up with these massive trade positions that, you know, as soon as one piece rolls off, you're already so deep into the next series of months down the road that you always have a piece on. You always had trades on. On my own, I like just making it clean. And on April expiration, I might have a few small trades in May already on the books. But for the most part, April expiration, which is 2 weeks from today, most of my book will be clean. And our final trade for the week is a debit spread. Last week was a debit spread on Advanced Micro Devices, symbol AMD, Apple, Mary, David. At the time, the stock was trading for $25.52. And we looked at buying the April 24 half 25 call spread, paying 33 cents, hoping for a maximum gain of 17 cents, which is about a 51.5% return in 3 weeks. So Advanced Micro Devices stock rose $3.46, ending the week at $28.98 per share. The in-the-money call spread, which we bought, it's even more in the money now, and we paid 33 cents for that April 24 half 25 call spread. With stock at this level, we know that this call spread will be pricing close to 50 cents in 2 weeks. Right now, if you were to close it early, it looks like you lock in roughly 10 to 12 cents. That's still a 30% return on the money that you put in for this trade. And of course, if you wait the 2 weeks, which isn't too long, you just have to watch the stock. But if you wait the 2 weeks, and stock remains where it is or higher, you'll see a 50% profit on this trade. So those are the types of returns I like. I mean, if you're making 50% on your at-risk capital each trade or every handful of trades, and you're able to minimize losses, keep your losses lower, which you can do by understanding options and understanding what else can be done against the loss to hopefully turn a loss into a win. Man, you make money. I mean, I don't claim to be I'm not one of those guys that's like, you know, I have a 70 or 80% win rate. Because whenever I look at that, I'm like, okay, let's look at the real trades, not your numbers, but your actual trades. But what I am good at is adjusting my trades because I understand options. I want to adjust my trades. So if I take a loss, like in that credit spread, I'm not going to stay with the loss there. I'm going to do something against it to prevent finishing the month with a loss. And that just takes understanding options. And of course, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my Option Studio course. If you guys want to learn more about options, go over to theoptionstudio.com, theoptionstudio.com, and you can watch a video that tells a little bit more about the course. And if you'd like to get involved, hop in. If not, hey, just keep listening to me. I'm always happy to have you listening on the show. Now, let's look at the trades for this week. And before I start, I also wanted to say that, you know, right now, each week I cover a covered call, a credit spread, and a debit spread. But if you guys would like to see me look at things like, you know, maybe selling naked puts, or I could add ratio spreads. I try to avoid getting too complex on this show, but if that's something that you'd like to see me move into, I'm certainly willing to add another trade idea to the weekly show. So email me and let me know, or of course fill out the survey and let me know. And for those of you who filled out the survey, I did not forget about the prizes. So I'm waiting for a few more people to enter the survey, and I'll be getting a prize here soon to reward you guys for filling out the survey. So once again, I love that you guys listen to the show. It's awesome. Let's talk about this week's trades. So to start off, we're going to look at a covered call on Intelsat, symbol I as in Isaac. Stock ended the week at $17.52. And I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the April 18 call at 85 cents. This is a two-week trade. And if stock continues to go higher, we'll look at a 7.5% return in 2 weeks. Now, you would enter this trade by buying Intelsat stock for $17.52 per share and selling that April 18 call at 85 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $18 per share. And this is a really interesting company. It lost quite a bit of value. The stock lost a ton of value when it looked like this is a technology stock. And they have, they're big in 5G data. And they had talked about selling a lot of that 5G data or the access to the government. There was some pushback via some publicity that came out, some news. And recently the stock got upgraded again because the FCC actually said that they would continue there is a possibility for some future negotiations, which means that their plan is not 100% shot. So I'm sure this was a horrible paraphrase of the news, but if you decide to put on this trade, definitely take a look at the stock and read some of the news of why it's moved the way it has in the past, and it might make you a little more comfortable buying the stock, or by that same token, it might make you say, there's no way I'd like to get involved. So take a look. Now, the credit spread for this week is on a company that I've turned to a few times if you've listened to this podcast for a while, and that's United States Steel. United States Steel, the symbol is X, as in X-ray or X-Men. I love the hero movies, and I believe it's next weekend. We have the Avengers Infinity War, but so every time I see X, it's reminding me of Marvel. So maybe I should have traded Disney stock this week. But whatever, we're talking about United States Steel. Sorry for the rabbit hole there. The stock ended the week at $19.84 per share, and I'm looking at selling the April 20.5 call spread at 17 cents, which creates a maximum loss possibility of 33 cents. And of course, this is an April trade, so this is a 2-week long trade. Now, you enter this trade by selling the April 20 call at 46 cents and then buying the April 20.5 call for 29 cents. This is a credit spread because we're actually selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $20 per share where they are right now. Now, I looked at this stock, and it's been heading a little bit lower, and I was looking at some support and resistance levels and actually like the way it looks right now. But given that this is a 2-week trade, I definitely will be watching stock prices like a hawk as we cover these next 2 weeks. And then my final trade on the week is a debit spread on IQIYI Inc. Stock symbol IQ, Isaac Quarter. Stocks ended the week at $23.48 per share. And I'm looking at buying the April 24-23.5 put spread for 32 cents, hoping for a maximum gain of 18 cents or 56% return in 2 weeks. You enter this trade by buying the April 24 put for $1.13 and selling the April 23.5 put at 81 cents. This is a debit spread because we are ultimately buying the put spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $23.50 per share, and I think they will drop a bit lower. IQIYI Inc. is a seller of, they're based in China, and they are a seller of online entertainment. They have all sorts of stuff. They even have some virtual reality products, but they've been in the news a bit, and it looks like the stock is heading a little bit lower. So I like, again, buying this spread, buying this put spread. Buying a put spread means that you want the stock to go lower. So I'm a net seller of the stock. So definitely take a look at the news. And if you think that this stock is heading lower, this might be a trade for you as well. So that's it for the week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Definitely fill out that survey. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. And if you have any suggestions for me, or if you have any questions about your own position or questions about options, just email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. And I'd love to hear from you. So take care. Have a great week and happy trading. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.